Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church this Fusion Sunday, which is also Palm Sunday, which I'm going to guess you gathered by the palms in your hands. And whether you've been here your whole life, friends, or this is your first time worshiping with us, we are so glad you found your way to this worshiping community. You can learn more about how we are church together. Your bulletin has some announcements, also a calendar of opportunities for worship and fellowship, mission and learning. There will be an elder at the communion table following worship for any questions that you might have. And there are a lot of opportunities that you can see in your bulletin this week as we begin the sacred journey of Holy Week. So today is Palm Sunday, and a reminder to our youngest worshipers, there is no church school today, nor will there be on Easter Sunday. We get to worship together, and we love all of your wiggles and your giggles, and so if you get a little antsy during worship, and that goes for anyone who gets a little antsy during worship, you're welcome to stand and move around as you feel comfortable. This morning, we also welcome Julie Howe from the First Presbyterian Church, Pittsburgh, and also Ray Poole, who will be our harpist today. What a gift. Thank you for being here today. Other worship opportunities this week include Maundy Thursday and Good Friday here in the sanctuary at 7 p.m. Easter sunrise, bright and early, possibly in the snow, who knows, but out here in the Memorial Garden, and our traditional Easter celebration at 10 a.m. Also, please note that we will be observing the Stations of the Cross at the Rock Salt Mission Center. More information is in your bulletin. I'm happy to also answer any other questions you might have. Please also mark your calendars for April 8th, the Sunday after Easter, as we celebrate our associate pastor and the conclusion of her ministry here at Gates. Children will be, and youth will be, a very special part of that celebration during worship. Don't worry, you don't have to prepare anything ahead of time. Just show up and be here and help us celebrate Katie. Two other notes about worship today. We are also receiving the One Great Hour of Sharing, and for anyone who brought back your fish banks, during the children's time, we'll have you bring those up. And if I have a few good helpers who would be willing to give just 5 to 10 minutes of time, if we have enough folks, to box up the Lenten wall of food, there'll be boxes out there. Just help place some of those canned goods in the boxes so we can get them down to SWEM. And Larry has an announcement this morning.
Morning. The registration forms for vendors for the flea market are available in the church narthex and also bins in the library for any donated books. Thank you very much.
And now, friends, let us prepare our hearts, our minds to worship our holy God.
Thank you.
Please stand as you are comfortable and able for the call to worship, which I want to draw your attention to a little bit of instruction there about making sure that we are waving our palm branches high. We're going to practice with the call to worship, and then we're really going to get into it during the processional hymn. So every time you hear Hosanna in the highest, wave them high. Let us join together. God of love and compassion, we celebrate your joyful and disruptive entry into Jerusalem. Hosanna in the highest. In that same way, we anticipate with expectant hearts your presence in this place. Hosanna in the highest. We come knowing your love has arrived and is made manifest in Jesus the Christ. Hosanna in the highest. We come prepared to be changed by the grace we receive in your love. Hosanna in the highest. And we come with our whole being to prepare the way for the coming of love incarnate. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest.
Please join me in the prayer of confession. O Holy One, we are too distressed to notice that you join us in the parade. We are too busy sighing. We are too busy talking. We have insisted upon our own answers. We proclaimed our own knowledge about why bad things happen, about why the rich get richer, about why the world feels so broken. We have assured ourselves that this is the way that things must be. But this life is in your hands. Our lives are in your hands. God, in your mercy, transform our lives.
Breathe in and breathe out and know that you are God's own. Breathe in and breathe out and know that God sees you as beautiful and unique. Breathe in and breathe out. And know that you are set apart for God's good purposes. Breathe in and breathe out. And know that you are loved. Friends, breathe in and breathe out. Your sins are forgiven.
Thank you.
feel like I should get you guys goggles when you do that every year, right? Something to protect those eyes. Come on down. All the children are welcome to come forward at this time. If you'll bring your palms and also bring your fish banks, and if an adult brought a fish bank, you're welcome to either come forward or hand it to a little one as they walk by, and they can bring it up here. Hi, you've got two. Good. Jerusalem riding a donkey. Thank you. Not a Mercedes-Benz, definitely a donkey. And the crowds were standing all alongside the street. And John says that the crowds had palm branches in their hands. I've often wondered, why palm branches? Why not just any other branch from a tree? Palm branches to the Jewish people had a very important meaning. These palm branches to them were a sign of hope. The people were hoping for someone who would come and save them, who would come make the world a better place. And you know what? I thought a lot about palm branches yesterday. I was downtown in Rochester called a March for Our Lives. And you know what? I saw some of you down there. I know, I see hands going up. I didn't maybe see your face, but I saw pictures of you there. And in a lot of people's hands, they also had something in there. In those hands, they had signs of hope. Signs of hope that there will be a... You went there, I know, it's awesome. That there are signs of hope all around us, from palm branches to signs for peace. And what's that other thing that you all brought up? Can you show me again? Make that sound again, it's so good. Yes! Fish banks! Okay, good job. All right, so those fish banks are full of your change for the One Great Hour of Sharing that goes to help people, especially people who have been in natural disasters like hurricanes. Some of you know about that, right? Yeah, I know. And so those fish banks are also a sign of hope that we are working with God to make things better. So I want you all to hang on to your palm branches all through church today. We're going to be doing something during the sermon. I bet some of you might be able to guess. And if you need more, you can go back and get some. And your fish banks, why don't, as you guys walk out to be sit with your parents, you put them on the communion table as a sign of hope today. Can we pray first? Would that be all right? Can we pray? All right, that means putting our hands together or up in the air. However you would like to pray today, let us pray. Dear God, thank you for signs of hope that your love is in this world and us. Amen. Thank you all. So if you have a fish bank, put it on the communion table and go back and sit with the adult you came with today. Thank you.
Our first scripture of reading is from the book of Psalms, Psalm 118, verses 1 and 2, and then we'll skip to 19 through 29. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let Israel say, his love endures forever. Open for me the gates of the righteous. I will enter and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord, through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. The Lord has done it this very day. Let us rejoice and be glad. Lord, save us. Lord, grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. From the house of the Lord we bless you. The Lord is God, and he has made his light shine on us. With bows and hands, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his love endures forever.
Our second reading this morning comes from the Gospel of John. The next day, the great crowd that had come to the festival heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, as it is written, "Do not be afraid, daughters of Zion. Look, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." And his disciples did not understand these things at first. But when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written of him and had been done to him. We have spent the last 5 weeks reading our way through the stories of transforming faith found in the Gospel of John. To be honest, John is not my favorite gospel. But every time I do a sermon series in John, I admit I fall just a little bit in love with this gospel. There are these details, these layers of meanings interwoven in the familiar stories of Jesus' life and his death and his resurrection. And interestingly, one of the details that we hang on to quite literally on each year, this Palm Sunday, it only appears in John's gospel. In Matthew and Mark and Luke, it is written that the people cut down the branches of trees and just spread them on the road. It's only in John that there is mention that these are palm branches. And this is also the shortest of the accounts of Palm Sunday. But what John does so beautifully is he connects us to a story that's actually not even included in our Old Testament. Well, the Protestant version of the Old Testament. If you had a Catholic Bible that includes the Apocrypha, which is fascinating to read, you'd see in the Book of Maccabees that 200 years before Jesus entered Jerusalem on this Palm Sunday, it was the Jewish people who celebrated their freedom to practice peace and their faith in a time of oppression, that they entered Jerusalem with praise and palm branches, it says, with harps and cymbals, stringed instruments and hymns and songs. So for the gospel writer of John, these palm branches were very, very important. They represented a transformation that the people were hoping for again. And as I shared with the children, this image came to my mind yesterday with the March for Our Lives, seeing children and parents and teachers and grandparents with signs in their hands, longing for hope and for peace, where violence and death will not have the last word. And so this morning, I know we hold these palms in our hand with a similar hope that we too will have faith and life transformed by God's love. And we are ever mindful that we cannot separate that hope, that longing, from what will happen in the week to come. So I'd like to reintroduce you to something that we did, I want to say it was about 5 years or so ago, that connects us to the transformation of the palms, to the story of the cross and the empty grave. So if you failed at this 5 years ago, grace abounds. Here we are again. We can try to fold successfully or perhaps unsuccessfully. So I'll confess, I didn't practice quite as much this year as I did 5 years ago. So just never really know. All right, so everyone has their palm frond. Okay, personally, I find it helpful if you kind of split a palm in half, kind of tear it apart. Many of you have already been doing that. It's a little easier to fold if it's a bit thinner. Ooh, that's a good sound. All right. The first fold. This is an easy one. It's all right. So keep the base, the heavier end in the bottom, and keep your thinner end here to the top. And the first fold, leave about a third of it or so left, and just bring it down. That's it. Your first fold. Got it? This is the fold that starts it all. It begins with God's love. Love born in the person of Jesus Christ, to be more specific. We learned right from the beginning as we knelt alongside the manger that to proclaim Christ as King, there wasn't going to be a throne. We wouldn't be able to see the kingdom, and the servant would be the King himself. So we're a bit surprised this morning to find this crowd gathered alongside the gates leading into Jerusalem, the city of David, the crowd that welcomes their king, hailing him King of Israel. They wave these palm branches, hoping he's the long-awaited fulfillment for peace and love that the world so much needs. So we make this first fold as a reminder that the transformation from Palm Sunday to Good Friday, in taking these palms and making crosses, you knew what we were going to do with it. But in this first fold, we start with God. God who revealed God's very nature and love in the life of Jesus. All right, you ready for step two? Okay, I find it helpful. So about a third of the way down from that kind of main base, I think you know what you're working with here, I put my thumb right there about a third of the way down, and I bring up the thinner side and form a right angle. Ready? Just like that. With this second fold, the palm leaf is beginning to take shape. But the full picture has not yet emerged. And if you, you know, you don't have to, but if you lift up your thumb, the work you have done already unravels just as quickly as the crowd unraveled following the excitement of the parade. The crowds dispersed, and we aren't sure exactly where they all went. It was the beginning of Passover in Jerusalem. So the city was overrun with people. Imagine, some of you may have easier memory to this, Disney World during spring break. That kind of chaos, extended families who have all converged at the same time in the city of Jerusalem to eat, to see the sights, and to worship together. Now, in Matthew's account, right after the parade, Jesus enters into the temple and he gets angry. He drives out the people who are buying and selling, and he turns over tables in his outrage. There, God's love met greed and turned everything upside down. The crowds must have seen that. They must have seen, after all, Jesus, God's Son, who healed the blind and the lame. They must have seen his miraculous healings and a raising of a man named Lazarus, a man he loved from the dead. And the authorities began to question this love. The crowds must have known that. And something happens. Something becomes unclear. That same crowd that proclaimed him king is now calling for his execution. What happened after those palms were laid down to welcome Jesus? How did things unravel and become unclear so quickly? All right, you ready? Next step. So we're going to make the arm. So you have your right angle, and we bend it over to the other side. I bend it in front. If your angle is facing you, I wrap it around to the front. So front to you. Okay. And do the same on the other side. Okay. So make it so you have a cross emerging. You still have a tail. Starting to come together for some of you now. Maybe not for others. That's okay. Do your best. It's not a test. You don't fail Palm Sunday if you can't put it together. Make a cross. You can see it in your hands. Both sides have been assembled. And these two arms are reminders that it was the actions of both the church and the state that crucified Jesus. As it turns out, love's actions do not sit well with people who are in charge. During Holy Week, we like to focus our attention on Pilate, the political part in making Jesus' cross. That ambitious Roman governor, accompanied by military contingencies that questioned Jesus. We know him as the man who questions Jesus, and had he followed his own inclinations, would have released Jesus. But when the crowd, the hostile crowd, threatens to inform the emperor that Pilate wasn't doing his job, Pilate chooses between what is right and what is politically pleasing. Unlike politicians of today's age, Pilate knew he would get caught in his misstep. He would be held accountable. And now this other side, I'm not asking you to make any more folds, just see the other side. It's the side we don't really like to talk a whole lot about. The religious establishment's involvement in all of this. It's not about one particular religious establishment, as many have portrayed in anti-Semitic ways. Caiaphas is the high priest, the leader of making sure nothing in the institution changes. You think Pilate is this slick politician, but he's got nothing on Caiaphas. As a politician of an organized religion, he participates in a structure that serves its own end. For Caiaphas, Jesus was a threat, a rebel, whose teachings of love would free people from religious rules and regulation that secured power for the elite. Caiaphas, no doubt, considered it his religious duty to stir the religiosity in the crowd into an angry mob that would scream for Jesus' death. The arms of this cross are very powerful, and they cannot be separated. No matter how much we would like to excuse the religious folks or say that politics don't belong, both together played a role in the events that it would unfold through Holy Week. All right, now it starts to actually get complicated. Okay? If you've got your two arms, your little tail, my little tail's facing me, you fold it up so that it goes in between the two top points of the cross. And yes, I'm cheating. I've got directions in front of me, and that's all right. If you want directions, they're sitting out in the hallway, so you can get them afterwards. So you put them up and in between here, what is to me noon and three. You fold it down. Fold it down between six and nine. Okay? So if you've got it down between six and nine, fold it around the bottom of the base, okay, which is a little tricky because it doesn't want to fold that way. So if you've got it here, fold it around the bottom, okay, ready? Here we go. And then fold it up between, well, 12 and 9 on my clock here. So I've got it pointing up here. So I'm not going to unravel it, but if I turn it around to look at me, it looks like an X, okay? Now, what's facing you is pretty hodgepodge, mishmash. But what you're going to do is take your little tail, fold it over top of the top piece and down through the bottom of the parallel. Basically, you're just securing it. I don't care how you do it. Mainly, you just try to get it to stay. That's your goal. Remember, there are instructions outside of the sanctuary on the table if you want to try to keep doing it. These steps are tricky, especially if you're trying to look at it from all the way back there. Weaving these last pieces in and out, all these twists and turns are reminders of the complexity of transformation in our life of faith. The crowd, the church, the government, there were a number of players in the events that happened 2,000 years ago who contributed to making the cross on which Jesus would die. Some were wicked and weak, and some were vacillating, some were cunning, some were desperate, some didn't care, and some were innocent victims caught up by accident in all of this drama, and nonetheless, they all in their own way contributed to the misunderstanding, the misrepresentation, the misjudgment, and the malicious mistreatment that crucified love. Just as one fold of a palm leaf does not a palm cross make, so also not one person or group of persons are responsible for the cross to which Jesus would die. In the messy twists and turns of the cross, we find ourselves. During the season of Lent, we've explored these stories of transforming faith, where the intersections of sin, injustice, hatred, love, compassion, joy, where they all meet together. And in those stories, we experience for ourselves God's wondrous love for us. In these places, we remember that God lived as one of us, suffered and died as one of us, and the resurrection that transforms the power of sin and death has on our lives. The cross shows us that violence is not the answer. Sin will never consume us, and death is not the end. From the first fold to what may be the last for some of you in this cross, there is not only frustration or death. There is life, God's life, and our life. In Jesus, our faith is transformed because God's love goes on loving. What wondrous love is this indeed? Thanks be to God. join our voices together in a time of worship, our praises to God, and also bringing our prayers. We give voice to those, the joys and concerns. If you have one to share aloud, please raise your hand and keep your prayer brief. And if you desire follow-up, please let me know, and I'm happy to pray with you.
Good morning. This is Keisha Binko. This is a mother's prayer. So our son, Colin, is Mr. Adventure Man. I just asked for prayers for his safety. He's in Nevada right now, climbing mountain, rock climbing, some crazy stuff, while he waits for the avalanche risk to decline on Mount Whitney, which was the ultimate cause of his trip. So prayers for ice climbing, safety, clarity, focus, come home safe, all
and
that.
Mom and Dad. Prayers for Mom and Dad as well.
And Charicola, I'm asking for prayers for my brother-in-law, Reggie, Sue's brother, who lives in Raleigh, North Carolina. Been in the hospital since Tuesday with a medical concern they just can't figure out.
Prayers, Sue, for your brother.
Kathy Goodikons, Chuck and I have a joy of the birth of our first grandchild. Yay. Yesterday, to Brian and Kate. Her name is Maeve Elizabeth Gerber Goodikons.
Wonderful. Congratulations.
Jennifer Olson, I just ask for prayers for the next few weeks for our family. We just had a surgery scheduled for Everett, and it'll be the first time he's admitted to the hospital since his long stay in the NICU. So it's a little stressful for all of us.
Prayers for Everett, for Mom and Dad, Grandma and Grandpa, too, the whole family.
Just wishing a happy birthday to my mother and father. My mother turned 80 on Friday and is wearing a beautiful corsage her sister gave her, and then Dad's birthday was Thursday.
Happy birthday to you both.
I get in trouble because I don't do what I'm supposed to do. Does that bother me, Melissa?
Go ahead.
It's just a story, a short story. My friend Phyllis, who is kind of in another world, but in her own house, so she thinks. And this pretty lady came, she told me last night, and stayed. She knew all about our church, and she explained everything, and we laughed. She said, I wish she hadn't gone home. And that beautiful lady was Melissa. My thank you.
So good visiting with Phyllis. Thank you, Corona. I see a prayer over here. Go ahead.
My name is Caitlin Shaw, and I have prayers for my friend Emily's grandpa. He's been in the hospital for a while, and I don't know what happened. But I just hope that he's going to feel better.
Amen. Definitely, Caitlin. We can pray for Emily's grandpa and for Emily, too. Got one more? There we go.
I ask prayers for my granddaughter, Elizabeth, and her daughter, my great-granddaughter, Haley. Just that God's hand surround them.
We can do that. Prayers for Haley and for Elizabeth. And prayers of joy that our Guatemala team has returned safe and sound, and that Margaret is with us. So prayers of joy for a great trip, and we look forward to hearing more.
I asked for prayers for Richard Zonneville's family. He died recently after a long fight with cancer.
Prayers for Richard's family. Thank you. And we also pray with our Laurelton family as they have their great celebration this afternoon and their final worship service on Easter. So prayers with Katie and our brothers and sisters in Christ at Laurelton Presbyterian Church. Right, let us continue our time of prayer together. And as I indicate, God, in your grace, you'll respond with transform our world. God of the universe, you came into Jerusalem on the back of a young colt, not on chariots of fire. You came to serve, not be served. You came to deliver the good news of God's great love for us. Grant us a sense of your peace, which passes all understanding. God, in your grace, transform our world. For the world, we pray that we might be good stewards of its resources, that we care for the earth, advocates for change where change is needed, God, in your grace, transform our world. For the nations of this world, we pray for their leaders, that they would seek to do justice, advocate for the poor, the widow, the orphan, and the other, and work towards your righteousness. God, in your grace, transform our world. For our community, we pray that you would allow us to be agents of change, a place of refuge and a light in the darkness. God, in your grace, transform our world. And in this moment of silence, we lift up the names of those who are in our hearts this day. God, in your grace, transform our world. God, grant that all those named and unnamed may recognize your presence in their lives. God, in your grace, transform our world. And we pray all this in the name of the one who came to bring love and taught us to pray, saying, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now let us receive the morning offering.
Dear God, thank you for all you have given us, our talents, abilities, and knowledge. Let us use your gifts to serve you by sharing, to serve you by sharing our abundance with others. Guide us to use these gifts that we present before you to serve us in the world. Amen.
Transforms our faith, and we transform our lives.